Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maben, delivered by Papa John on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. We're rolling along. We got a little worked up. It got a little excitable in here. People coming off a weekend. I can see the anxiety around the city. I can see the nation radio stations. Like, what are we going to talk about? Steve, I feel like we just went through an hour. I was almost mad at the producer for playing the music. Like, I thought he was making a mistake. There's no way that was an hour.
That's what I say. A lot of people look for stuff to talk about, and we say, man, we only got 2 hours to talk about everything that happened.
Goodness gracious. So, Steve, we just nibbled on a bit of that story that was the tweet of Coach Cal over the top of Bam Adebayo's amazing performance.
Right, yeah.
Attempted deflection. Attempted dissemination of information, whatever you want to call it. You just call it spin.
Well, I mean, I call it what I called it Friday, and we talked about him calling the Knicks. I call it he's looking west down I-64 going, well, I'm about to get it handed to me. So
I need to cash in my chips right now.
Let's call everybody we know. Think of any kind of spin you can think of. And if you can get me out of here to New York, let's do that too.
Anything to get out of here ASAP. Yeah,
that's what we're working with right now.
I mean, it did feel like that.
Nervous.
It did feel like that.
He's nervous.
So let me ask you this. He's over there. We talked about this, Steve. We said, I don't know if I like him being able to be the Mr. Recruit of the USA 1900. You remember how threatened we felt when that story first broke?
Yeah, no, there was. I think there was. I think there's a lot of people go, well, I don't know how much I like that, because even if it's not with our guys, it's like, well, it gets him in with guys, you know, and different things. So.
Okay, well, early part of the show, you threw something out there. You threw out, you know, a little bit of watching the USA team or what's going on over there. We didn't want his hands on. And then you said, maybe a good thing for Louisville. Maybe the best thing that could happen. Elaborate on that.
I mean, it's no direct information. I mean, I just think, you know, it's almost that guy where I say, I would almost rather you know what, Romeo? Go spend 2 weeks with him. Let him coach you for a couple weeks.
That's a fascinating perspective, because it was a nightmare, Steve.
Yeah, no, it was.
Again, pulse of the fan base, Steve Rummage. It was a nightmare.
Yes.
To think Coach Cal.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I believe you said it first. I do not want Coach Cal's paws all over Romeo Langford.
And it's not just Romeo. I mean, I think he has Lewis King over there, too. I mean, there's a few guys, you know, that are Louisville guys possibly that he's got over there, but Romeo being one. But now I've almost kind of changed my stance to the point where I say, you know, go spend a few weeks with him.
Right.
Go let him coach for a few weeks.
Right.
And then come and talk to me.
And now you feel like you're proven to be a little more right than you thought before.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think so. I mean, you see just from watching the a few of the games, I mean, you know.
Boy, they look unhappy. They look unhappy, and I think something, there was another fascinating point. Because I'll say, while I agree with you, there was something that also kind of had my attention. You got Kentucky players. They're over here practicing almost together.
Wait, well, he's got two. He's only got two on the team.
I thought he had three.
He sent Knox home because he had a
that's right.
pulled a muscle.
There was originally three.
He was too important to Kentucky season to play for Team USA.
Say that again in clearer terms.
Calipari sent Knox home because he said he was too important for Kentucky season to represent his country. So
just let that one sit out there for a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Moving forward, right?
Right. Yeah.
That was one of our thoughts, though. He's getting all this extra practice in. And then you fast forward. You saw those highlights, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who's been near a TV. You saw that fast break with Hamidou Diallo.
Yeah.
The windmill.
Yeah.
He's over there killing it.
Heck of an athlete.
Steve, yeah. Let me tell you something. Steve, you and I were together one of these shows that became a phenomenon. And that show that became a phenomenon is when Marcus Maben warned you, hey, y'all, you're talking about this five-star recruit. His name's Scal Labissiere, right? And I said, hey, people, be careful with just falling in love with somebody because they're a five-star recruit. Because this guy had a good tournament, a good Nike IBL tournament against some other player that was supposed to be good. And then Calipari jumped in. And before you know it, he's on Kentucky. And people, 8150, 93.9 is the number. 3831, 93.9 is the text line. Kentucky fan, Louisville fan, tell me I was wrong. When you saw Scal Labissiere on a basketball court out there in physical play, right? I mean, real deal competitive play.
Right.
You thought he was terrible. You thought he was terrible?
Well, I didn't think he was as good as advertised.
Before or during?
After I seen him play college ball a few times. I mean, I thought he was terrible.
He was terrible.
Yeah.
He was terrible. You know what? You're right. To be fair, being advertised so great, you know, he was less than average college player.
Yeah.
Below average for Kentucky level, you know, talent, right?
Right.
And I warned you ahead of time. People, take everything I said about Scal Labissiere before, during, and after when I tried to warn you and add a name to that list. Boy, Hamidou Diallo. First of all, you made a mistake, homie. Homie.
That's awesome.
You made a big mistake. What mistake? Going to school. You know me, people. I protect kids from getting exposed whenever possible. I send kids out of college. You get mad at me all the time. Oh, Anawaku needs the development. He needs to work on this. And I say, people, he's 19 years old. He led the league in double doubles. He has to leave before he has a chance to get exposed. I love the school. I'd love to have him back. You leave before you get a chance to get exposed. I've seen it a million times, right? Hamidou Diallo cannot put the ball on the floor more than two dribbles. Steve, before we cut to commercial, you accused me of cheering for Iran. I'm going to give you a chance to take that back.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm telling you, man, I saw him out there. All I saw was that final score and those highlights beforehand.
Right.
Kentucky fan, if your hopes are resting on the top shooting guard coming out of last year's class, the highest NBA vertical coming out of the NBA combine, this is not your guy. Steve, remember when we found out he was deciding to forego the draft and go to school? You remember that gut, that nauseous feeling we got, like, oh, goodness gracious, he's going to be the cornerstone of Kentucky's team next year. Right.
Yeah.
But then we said, what's going on here?
Well, you start to ask why. You say, why does a kid who's got the highest vertical ever recorded at the draft,
right,
why is he not a top 20 pick? Why right. is he not a top 25 guy? I mean, that's my immediate question. So I say, you know, you obviously have some challenges other places in your game or flaws.
Some flaw that has to be magnificent.
That has to be really stand out.
I saw the magnificent flaw. He cannot dribble the ball. And then, Steve, it got personal. Once I saw him on the court, and this is against Iran, I'm telling you, people, the competition,
it's crap.
It's poor at best.
It's crap over there.
Right? I saw him not be able to dribble the ball around the worst defenders I've ever seen at Olympic level competition. Right? Like, I saw it with my own two eyes. And it was funny at first. I'm like, oh, he sucks. I can't wait to blast him next year. I can't wait till he's out here guarding Brian Bowen, VJ King. I can't wait. Right?
Right.
That's what I was thinking at the time. And then, you know what? My basketball player kicked in. The Kentucky fans that I'm cool with, who I can talk basketball with, right? Then that guy kicked in a little bit, right? Then I said, wait a minute. This dude has been on the campus at Kentucky for a year? and he looks like that, and he's representing the country? Man, I wanted to call his parents. I wanted to call his people, his quote-unquote guardian. I wanted to say, listen, you might want to think about hiring a personal trainer or something, right? Because if that kid's been there that long and he can't dribble the ball and he's considered a two guard, he is wasting away. I almost got personal. Like, I almost felt like his career was being sabotaged. And you know what he's going to turn into? He's going to turn into that guy who can blame everybody else but himself, right? Because he's getting caught up in the system. He's getting caught up in the system of hide till you can go pro, right?
Right.
But he's not hiding anymore. When he decided to go back to college, he decided he wanted to take on a challenge. And I understood that. Man, Steve, I'm going to force you to watch this link. Actually, I'm going to tweet this link out here in a second. Follow me at Maben939.
Yeah.
So I can tweet to you this link of the FIBA USA versus Iran. And you look at this kid. I think he's number 8. You look at him for a couple of minutes and you tell me I'm wrong. Right?
Right.
So.
No, I agree with you.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, I'm 100% in agreement with you. I mean, and it's just like I said, it's what we've seen before. And I think that's why people are saying, I mean, you look at this team, and I think Louisville has, and it goes back to, I've seen some of this Louisville team, and they have a legit championship contender. They have guys to do it. I'm just not sure the others, I'm not sure Kentucky does this.
I was literally giggling, Steve. Yeah. Like I said, Louisville fan was giggling.
Right.
Basketball player, this don't make no sense.
Yeah.
That he's not developed. Okay, so Steve, fast forward. They look miserable out there too.
Right, yeah. That,
the American, you know, raise your flag for your country. I'm like, come on, fellas. Like, can you look like you're enjoying basketball a little bit?
Right.
Right? I'm looking at PJ Washington. I'm like, dude, you look miserable out there. Like, what are you, know, are y'all not having a good time? I mean, no handshakes, no camaraderie. It was high screen and roll. Fumble the ball and just bully your way to a game, right?
Well, I mean, and that type of basketball over there, it's different. I mean, I remember watching Nanu a few years ago and go, man, these teams, man, they're bad.
The USA teams or
the teams they're playing, they're awful. I mean, it's not good at all. I mean, there's a couple teams in there that may be decent, but I mean, other than that, no, it's just bad.
No, and I just wanted to follow your point too.
Yeah.
The best thing that could happen is those kids get to be
Get to play under, because that's what I say, and that's where I go back to. I think you're gonna start to see a swing in recruiting. I mean, where people are starting to now say, no, I'm gonna go play and I'm gonna go win and I'm gonna go get developed.
You know what else you see too? Like I said, just to clean up this point, people, you know what else you see? You see the luster is taking off. Like, think about it. If you're a forward that's going to, let's just say you're going to some other school. Let's say you're going to Maryland, right? And you played on the Olympic team with PJ Washington and Kevin Knox. You saw them up close and personal, right? And you saw Coach Cal up and close and personal. You're like, dude, they ain't all that, man. Like,
right.
That's, you can see it as a player. Like, that's, they just all hype.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So now when you play them, you don't have that, you know, you don't have that intimidation factor of, oh, that's Kentucky. You know, I did think this. Are you worried about Cal getting to recruit the whole nation right now?
No, not with what we're not.
Steve,
no.
Make a conversation about that. At least you just shut me. No.
No, I'm not, because I mean, not with what Rick Pitino's doing right now.
I saw the picture Cal took with the Italian team, right?
Right.
And then it hit me like a ton of bricks. I say, he's over there recruiting the rest of the nation. Like, he'll be able to, if think about this. If you take this USA team 19 and under, and they're over there just dominating all the other teams that are 19 and under, you basically have became the shining image of college basketball for all 19 and unders of all nations. I didn't like it. I thought it was a nice, I mean, you know, tip of the cap.
Right.
You know, you got me. But you're really in Louisville-centric, I don't care.
No, I think what Patino's doing right now, I mean, you see, I mean, it's too good. I mean, the product he's got, the talent he's got, the fire you see in Rick Pitino right now. No, I don't. I'm not worried about who he recruits. I'm not worried about who they bring in. I mean, I think Rick's about to go on a 2-3 year run here that's going to be better than he's ever seen.
Would you rather have your players over in Egypt right now playing in that competition or in the Yum Center too?
No, right where they're at, in the Yum Center. Send them over to Adidas Nations if you want, you know, or something like that.
I mean, summer.
Yeah, no, yeah, you know. Week. Yeah, kind of a thing with the other players around the country. No, yeah, absolutely. Then I would just have them over there. I mean,
so you like having them in there with Reagan Ong?
Yes, and each other
drinking nutrition shakes, and
that's how much confidence I have in my team.
You think they're going to sharpen each other enough?
Yeah, yeah. Having your backups being good enough. I mean, VJ King and Brian Bowen are facing each other every day. I mean, Dwayne Sutton and Dang Adele are facing each other every day. Tell me whether Quinn Snyder's going up against a hungry Darius Perry every single day. Like, tell me where you're going to get competition better than that.
Russ Smith. Midday with Marcus Maben. 8150. 93.9 is the number. 3 minutes on 93.9 The Ville.
Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maben, delivered by Papa John's on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben.
Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. Rolling right along. I almost have to apologize because I dropped a little smoke bomb in the room and I dashed out. Steve, you knew we were going to get excited about, we're talking with former player's father, excited about the summer league. This is our patron saint of causes, right?
Absolutely.
Russ Smith.
Yeah.
You have that tweet nearby of what Russ Smith has been doing with his summer vacation. I mean, I know what you people are doing with your summer. What is Russ doing with his summer right now?
Well, we were hosting the 3-6 show way back when.
Right.
And Luke was in with us, and Luke said,
"I'm sorry about that."
What?
Okay, we were hosting the 3-6 show way back when. And
so, Luke said that they had dinner one night with Russ, and Russ is headed over to China to do a little 2-3 month stint there,
right?
Make him some cash, come back home, and
some nice cash.
Yeah, and he said, you know, I'm going to go for 80 at some point. Well, here's his first 5 games. Are you ready for this, Marcus?
Wait, 80 total?
No, 80 in a game. Here's his first 5 games. He scored 62, 42, 56, 66, 81. He's averaging 61.4 a game in 5 games. 61 point average over 5 games. Think about that. A 61 point. There is college teams that don't average 61 points a game. He's averaging as a player 61.4 players. So come at me, sure, with, well, the competition over there isn't as good. Well, you know.
I'm glad you went there, yeah. Steve. Right now, I will ask you this. What level would you have to be at to average 61 points?
Me?
And Steve, you can play. Like, you're all region, right?
Right.
As a basketball player?
Yeah. Did my thing.
Right?
Yeah.
What level, and let's say you got in shape, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you were in good, you know, good shape. What level of basketball would you have to be at to average 61 points over a 6-game stretch?
Middle school, probably. Maybe freshman.
No. You cannot average 61 points in high school freshman basketball.
No, probably not.
No, I guarantee you. I know. You
that's what I'm saying. I mean,
think about what we're saying, people. You know how good you have to be?
Yeah.
To average 61 points with adults? You can't find...
Really good, man.
Listen, put it this way. If there's a guy who considers himself a decent basketball player, you could put together a ESPN Louisville league, right? And trust me, people, there are not a lot of hoopers in this building, right?
To say the least.
You could put together a league, and if you think you can play, you couldn't average 61 points. And this, and if four out of the five people in this studio had never touched a basketball or hadn't touched a basketball in 10 years, you couldn't average. People, there are people out here cannot average 61
points. I play on a team, my normal league, and we have four guys at the college basketball level that played college basketball level.
Effective college basketball player level.
I've never seen in our league, I don't think I've ever seen any of them break 40. To put that in, and we play in some decent, now don't get me wrong, know, we play in some decent leagues, but we play some bum teams too.
I'm
there's a couple teams
get
that
some
suck.
Context to this, like you person right now, you couldn't average 61 in a sixth grade league right now. I mean, you couldn't go Billy Madison, you know, and not average in a eighth grade league. You could be 33 years old in great shape. Physically dominant, you know, mentally dominant, skill dominant, man. And could not average 61 points over three games. I mean, six games.
No, yeah. Russ that's fair. No, I mean, even just thinking about it.
Russ
was
not taller than everybody.
No.
He's not, you know, physically imposing. Just 61 of just buckets.
Yeah. And that's average. That's 61.8. Average. I mean, so that's not. I mean, he's had three games out of the five. He's went over that.
He said he was gonna go get 80 before
he called a shot, man.
Before he left the country.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna go over there and work these. I don't care who's in the league. I don't care. Like people understand.
I mean, that's just it's crazy to take in, man. Because you just go. I mean, I've had.
Meanwhile, Steph Curry just signed for $201 million.
I know.
5 years, 201. Russ Miller would have ruined that for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I'm willing to go there now, and that's fine. Rival fan base, whoever, call me and be like, oh, my gosh, Steve compared Russ Smith to Steph Curry. Okay, I'll be that guy. That's fine. Yeah, no, Steph Curry don't want to see Russ Smith. I'll say it. So that's fine. I'll be that guy.
Say that again, Steve.
Steph Curry don't want to see none of Russ Smith. I will say it.
Nobody wants to see no parts of Russ Smith. We've been saying it since he was in college.
Russ Smith makes me honestly ask. Russ Smith.
Are we living in the Matrix?
Yes. He makes me believe more that there is a conspiracy.
Than any other person in history.
Like, I almost, like, I want to question, you know, like, what is the deal?
Good call.
That and it's crazy. And I mean, and we know Russ personally. So I know it's not something like that Russ did, some deep skeleton that you go,
I keep trying.
And I've tried, yeah. Because I've even kind of with his dad, kind of like, I mean, you know, he'd never gotten any trouble. I mean, you know, nothing.
Yeah, no. And we're like, you know? Okay, we're like, and dad, okay, we get you, dad. Like, hey. Your dad, be protective right now.
Hey, off the record, man. He's off the never, record. Nothing at all. I mean, you can't dig up. Okay, you got busted for drugs back
we
here.
We made
or
it uncomfortable nothing. With his father saying, hey, man, you got to tell us, man. Like, we just really have to know. Listen, let's turn off all these microphones. Let's sit at another table, Pops. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, let's go outside. Let's cover our mouths.
Yeah.
You know, like, we have the FBI watching us. Like we went through all the necessary steps to make sure he knows that this is not a public conversation.
Yeah.
You need to tell us who did he say something crazy to in the NBA? Pull up that caller screen.
And people, and the thing is, though, is people talk to us. So it's like, that's the thing. I mean, we get.
No, go ahead. Keep your train of thought.
I have no idea.
That little phone right at the bottom.
Where we're at.
All the way to the bottom. No, all the way to the bottom. This. Nope.
There you go. Let's just do that.
Let me get to these phone lines so we can both get our thoughts together. Larry from Orlando, thanks for joining us on 93.9. What's on your mind?
Hey, Russ Smith, I just had a thought. Russ Smith could be the mediator with President Trump and that guy over in China and get that stuff settled. But good to talk to you guys. Man, I've been suffering from 93.9, the bill, bad hangover. Man, I missed you guys. I'm glad you're back in there in the saddle again today.
Ditto.
I'm glad you are back. These football recruits, Steve, I'm happy for University of Louisville. It seemed like it was like a blink of an eye. We were not getting these 3- and 4-star recruits regular, but now we're in good shape, I think, at the linebacker position. My question for you today, guys, I got one for you, Marcus, and one for you, Steve. For you, Marcus, all this hustle and bustle in the NBA, shuffling players here, shuffling players there, it's my belief that we're still going to have the same 5 or 6 teams next year fighting it out for the NBA championship, the usual guys that are in there every year. And for I just want to know your thoughts on that, Marcus, and you feel the way I do. And for you, Steve, what team in the NBA, I know you've been following, you know, close with the trades and everything. What team in the NBA, Steve, do you think has made the best trades and will come out with a better record than they had last year overall? Talk to you guys later. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it, Larry from Orlando. A lot of stuff there. A lot of NBA talk. I mean, we're kind of stumbling into the NBA talk, and he's excited about the recruits. He's excited just to be back into the radio rotation.
Yeah.
As are we.
No, 100%. I think everybody is. I mean, first off, he said, I know I'm not going to answer your question for you, but he said, you know, it seems like the same 5 teams. The Cavs and the Warriors are going back to the finals.
You're sold on that already?
Yeah. I don't think anybody made enough moves to overtake either one of them. I don't see it.
You know what? Let's do this. I mean, this Russ Smith thing was just going to agitate us both, right?
Yeah. By the way, Russ had 8 rebounds, 7 assists, and 5 steals in that 81-point game. So,
just throw that in there.
Yeah, he did. He did a few other things, too.
Conspiracy theories unite.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just transition to professional basketball. Professional basketball, Steph Curry signed for $201 million, and Kevin Durant gave back $10 million.
Yeah.
Steve, upon hearing, I think you heard some debates, I think you heard some conversation about giving back $10 million. I believe I was in Walmart looking for batteries or something.
Sounds right.
But, Steve, we had that conversation a bit, and you proclaimed to be the most selfish basketball player thinking mind in history?
Possibly, yeah.
Steve, you got to give back $10 million to keep the team together.
No, I'm not.
On a championship team. What?
I'm not giving $10 million back.
Steve.
No.
Steve, don't do this. You know what? Let me move around so I can look at your
face.
That's
fine. No, this is fair. This should be done.
I want to look at you.
Okay.
When you would justify not giving back $10 million if you're Kevin Durant.
Okay.
Fire away.
Well, because I have kids. I have grandkids that are coming.
Boy, you Latrell Sprewell now. Yes. My kids got to eat.
100%. I'm not giving $10 million back.
Over 2 years?
No. Why?
To be a champion.
Why do I have to give $10 million back?
To be a 2-time champion and finals MVP.
Because if we lose 2 of these guys, I'm Kevin Durant. Still going to win the title.
No, you're not.
Then that's the problem with you. You're saying, we can't win a title unless we have we have right here. No, heck no. I'm not giving back $10 million.
Okay, let's just say, how much do you think Kevin Durant has in his bank account right now? Let's just give me a round, stupid number that you think Kevin's working with.
A couple hundred million.
Nah, he doesn't have a couple hundred million in the bank account.
Kevin Durant?
Yeah. It's probably $100 million. Now he spent some money too.
It's but I bet it's okay. Close.
Let's just say he has $123 million, right?
Okay.
$123 million.
Okay.
Do you think he would give up $10 million to be an NBA champion, 2-time NBA champion, and 2-time Finals MVP? Would you pay? He got $150 million. Let's just use that number. I hate this conversation. I'm broke as a joke.
Yeah.
Goodness great. Am I even allowed to talk about
you know what I don't have? You know what I don't have? $140 million. If I'm Kevin Durant.
No, 160.
If I'm Kevin Durant, I have $160 million.
Steve, Let's rephrase this question. 8150 939. People, we need settlement on this one. 3831 939 is the text line. Steve, would you pay, if you had $150 million, would you pay $10 million to be a two-time champion and a two-time finals MVP?
No. Not $10 million, Marcus. $10 million.
Do you think there's a separation between 150 and 140, a tangible separation?
Yes.
Other than what, your restaurant spending habits for a year?
Maybe. But
so you want to eat better for that year?
Giving away money is how guys go broke.
Okay.
But you watch the 30 for 30?
We're talking about a one-time purchase of $10 million, two championships, and two finals MVP. Steve,
I can win it without it.
Let me ask you this. Do you think his value increases by saying championship winning Kevin Durant? Because now, even after all this, he's going to be the keynote speaker, two-time champion, two-time MVP, finals MVP. His worth, his commercials, it will cover that $10 million because you're a champion and a two-time MVP.
Who would they
now
have lost if I, okay, here's the thing. If I don't give back $10 million, who do they lose that we can't win the title
Andre
without?
Andre Iguodala and Livingston.
You don't think the Warriors couldn't win the title?
You don't think those were important?
Yes, of course. Of course. But you don't think the Warriors couldn't win the title? They just beat the Cavs. I hate saying this because I loathe the Golden State Warriors. Steve, they just beat the Cavs 4-1.
Steve, I work with you on a daily basis, and you know why we high five every day? We high five because we love our job, and we know we could do things to make more money, right?
Right. We do. Maybe.
We know we could do things to make more money. And at the end of the day, what do we always agree? Little less money is worth loving.
Love what we do.
What you do and where you do it.
That's true.
Right?
Yes.
Why can't you apply that same logic to the Kevin Durant and Golden State situation?
Because 93.9 The Ville has never offered me $150 million. That's why. When I say I'll take
it's
a little less money
here,
I promise you it's not on that scale.
We're talking about more. If we narrow it down to percentages, yes. You left the same percentage on the table that Kevin Durant left on the table, percentage-wise of your gross salary. Yes.
I may. Yeah, I probably did.
No, you left more than Tim.
For you, Marcus. We're not talking about Kevin Durant.
Right. I'm Golden State.
I left money on the table for Marcus Maven. It's out there. People know it
and
now.
And to be at Golden State, which is midday with Marcus Maven.
Yes.
That's fair enough.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So to be at Golden State, a.k.a. midday with Marcus Maven, you left a higher percentage of money on the table.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So why you begrudge? Why do you begrudge Kevin Durant for that?
Because I don't know.
You're right.
I don't know.
8150 939 is the number. Who we got online?
Yeah,
one
the,
over there.
The thing's not in here. So
you can type it in. Yeah, we got our screen back up too. Jeff, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Join the conversation. What's on your mind?
Hey, Marcus, Steve. Hey, I was wanting to say I watched the game the other night with Donovan Mitchell in it, and one thing the commentators kept on harping on Mitchell and glowing remarks on Mitchell and everything, but they said he made a comment as far as Rick Pitino lets him have the freedom on offense, and they kept on talking about that. Wouldn't you like to play for a coach that gives you the freedom on offense? And he was talking about all the players, not just himself, which I thought was good marketability for Louisville. Also, the other thing I want to ask you all, if you all noticed the times that Romeo's getting over in Egypt, and I saw where he played like 7 minutes the first game. He didn't play any of the second game. Then he played 8 minutes the third game. I know they said something about back spasms, but I know the lowest amount the other players that played, I think at least was 16. You know, and he's playing like 8 and 7, so maybe that looks good for University of Louisville there.
Yeah, Jeff, I appreciate the call. Jeff,
that's a fair point because he hasn't been playing a lot of minutes.
And let's play this game too. You want to? Let's play this game. Steve, I want you to repeat what Coach Cal's explanation for Knox was. And say it like you love America.
He said,
Coach John Calipari.
He said that Knox's injury, he was too important for Kentucky's season to represent his country. Now, that's not the quote, but that's what he said.
Right?
Yeah. It's too important for the season. Gotta send him home.
But he sent him home.
Yes.
Light injury that he could have played through it.
Right.
Had this been Kentucky season, he would have been playing through it.
Yes.
So when you talk about Romeo Langford's back spasm, wouldn't you say, hey, send that kid home? If you cared about Langford like you cared about your own Kentucky season, you send Romeo Langford home immediately. You don't play a guy with back spasm 7 minutes and say, oh, we just wanted to let him get a few minutes, but not enough to send him home.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You send him home, or do you sit there and recruit him?
That looks like a
hypocritical move.
No, it is.
I mean, Jeff, you pointed it out. You know, I didn't want to even make something of that one because I didn't want it to sound like faux outrage. But what I'm saying is if you send your guy Knox home because you say he tweaked something and I don't want him tweaking anything else, right?
Yeah, but Romeo could have been unable to play and he'd probably still take him. I mean, just for the time alone with him.
Don't you see that as a problem?
Oh, yeah.
Because you're still putting, like you're saying he has back spasms. And then you're still putting him on the court, but only putting him on the court for 7 minutes, right?
Right.
So there's no protection of his injury. There's self-motivation to keep him in Egypt, right? Just play him enough to feel like you need, or you don't think he's that good.
Or you know he's going to Louisville and you want him to try to make an example and be like, well, he couldn't play for me.
Uh-huh.
So.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Throw it all out there.
Coming to America.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Got it. You get it, people?
No.
No, nobody got that. But
yeah.
Something stinks.
Yeah.
Something stinks, and it looks obvious. It looks like it stinks on behalf of Romeo Langford.
No, I agree.
I'd like to I'd like to be a fly on the wall.
It would be interesting to hear, and it'll be interesting to see Romeo's actions once he returns.
And recruiting yes, wise. And Jeff, yes. Donovan Mitchell. Boy, is he a billboard?
He is.
Is he a billboard? People, he dropped 23 in 25 minutes, and the comment he said, listen, he didn't just say Donovan Mitchell's just one man. How mad would you have been, Steve, if Donovan Mitchell went third person and said, hey,
John people, Moxon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, man, Donovan Mitchell's just one man.
No, instead, he was sitting there, though, and it was just watching him. For one, he's been a walking billboard for the University of Louisville.
Oh, yes.
If you need no other reason to make Donovan Mitchell one of your favorite all-time Louisville Cardinals,
yes.
It's been the draft process.
Oh,
because
yes.
Every interview, he said, Rick Pitino this, Louisville this, Rick Pitino
look at
the
my
style.
Socks.
Yeah, look at my socks. And then just...
He still takes pictures throwing up his L's, people, in Utah.
Yeah, and just having him just totally just sitting there. And I mean, he followed the baseball team and just everything.
He's vining. He's going through the draft vining about Louisville
and
the baseball situation.
Yeah. No, I mean
you can't buy that kind of pride.
No.
I don't see it out of control. I don't see people throwing the... whatever UK gesture up, you know, a draft day in the pro. I don't see none of that. And it's real. It's right in front of you.
Yeah. Right? I mean, I think they've had a couple people wear stuff on draft day.
I know.
But
get my point.
Yeah. I mean,
I was exaggerating.
Oh, okay. No, it's good though.
So you were feeling me on that.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. No, I agree.
But here, walking billboard, right? Guess what he says right after his first game? He says, you know what? That was the worst defensive performance I've ever had in my life. That was his post-game comments on his opening game. This man had 23-8.
Yeah.
Killed it. Maybe one of the best performances of anybody in the entire combine.
Yeah.
And my defense sucked tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready. Watch out for that, people. Online, too. Philly Carl, thanks for holding on 93.9. What's on your mind?
What's going on, man? Hey, Rummage, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to defend your point, and then I'm going to answer the question that you couldn't answer for Marcus. Like, most great players, they don't take the max so they can keep their team together and everybody can eat. Tom Brady, LeBron in Miami, they make sure everybody can eat and keep the dynasty together. But when you couldn't answer Marcus, I feel you. Durant He should have took the money, because the thing about it is Steph took it. So if everybody on the team would have been in agreement, let's make sure everybody can eat. Steph shouldn't have took the max. Steph took the highest deal ever. So that's how you answer Marcus on that one. But Durant should have took the money because Steph took it.
That's a good point. Thank you, Philly.
That's a terrible point.
No, because why couldn't Steph have took one? Why couldn't Steph took $190 million and then Durant took his extra 10?
Because Steph has been the 36th highest player in the league, or 60th highest paid. Are we talking 60 or 30s? Right? Can you look that up with Brian? Steph Curry has been the 36th or 60 something highest paid player in the league for the last 3 years. He is so far behind schedule on getting his money, and he won a championship. Durant hadn't won a championship. So, Durant, welcome to the team. You got to give back. You've been getting your money at full throttle all this time. And don't forget, Steph Curry's 29 years old. It's time. Kevin, you got to give up some of that money. Steph has earned his money a little bit different than you.
Then what? So you're telling me he wouldn't be appreciative and okay with $190 million?
Yes, but he's owed.
So why does he get the extra 10?
Because they owe him back pay on his child support.
No. No, dude. No way.
Golden State owes Steph Curry back pay on the child support.
You should have fought for that. You're okay making a little bit of money. That's fine. Hey, your dad played in the league.
I know.
Okay? My dad did.
Are you bringing in his dad's money to make him give back $10 million?
Yeah. That's like, fair. No, my dad didn't. So,
but he worked. He had championships before Kevin Durant.
But he wasn't going to have another one without him.
Maybe.
No, heck no.
You don't think
Cavs would have beat the Warriors this year if they don't have Durant, man.
You don't think they were capable?
Heck no.
They went 7 games last year without Kevin Durant.
No.
They had them down 3-1 without Kevin Durant. Yeah, they went 7
and lost. The year before, the only one Steph won, took LeBron missing Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving.
It still almost beat them. Went 7. If Iguodala gets hot, my point being, the Warriors could do it without Durant. Durant couldn't do it without the Warriors. Give back $10 million. Nah, worth $10 million more just for the championship, just for the MVP. Just for the details, I can't believe who we got on line one. Somebody's gonna make a point to help me drive this home. Alex, thanks for joining us on Midday with Marcus Maven. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's up? Honestly, Marcus, I can't really help you on the NBA part because I don't really care too much for Kevin Durant. I think you should have gave it back because, like,
give his whole paycheck back?
I'll take that back. You know what? I will actually agree because that actually does make sense. Like, You just now coming here. We could have won this without you. We have won it without you. So you need to give that $10 million back because your boy over here has been murdering it. He won a championship here. So actually, that makes sense. But I actually wanted to call about John Calipari thing. This is why I love listening to this show, because when John Calipari, when you guys first talked about him going to coach the USA team, I was worried. But then – now that I'm hearing all this stuff, and then I'm really thinking about, like, how this, the contradictions. Like, there's no way these high school kids don't see the contradictions in what he's doing now. I just feel like his game is coming to an end. You know, all the things that he's doing. I can't wait until he moves on. Actually, this is weird, but last night I had a dream that he actually left and went to the NBA, and I woke up and realized it wasn't real. But I did have a dream about that.
That was a nightmare. We need him here taking these whippings for about 3 or 4 more years.
But yeah, but I just want to say I love how you break it down and you pull out the realness, like what he's really saying, and you just expose that, because that gives me ammunition with all the UK fans that I have to deal with. So I just want to thank you guys for a great show.
I appreciate it, Alex. Man, help me help you, as always.
That's what we do.
And 502 Cafe. 1923 South 4th Street. Let me add that in before I make this point. Speaking of breaking it down, help me help you always with the 502 Cafe thing. And Steve, just to throw a little spike into the argument, thanks to Dalton, who was giving me a statistic. Ooh. Hey, everybody, we're arguing about Steph Curry not giving back his cut of that $201 million. Do you realize that Steph Curry was the 82nd highest paid player in the NBA? People, I'll say it again. Do you realize that Steph Curry was number 82 on the pay scale in the entire NBA last year? He was fourth highest on his own team. I'm not giving back $10, much less $10 million.
Freaking who? It must have been tough living in poverty his whole life like Steph Curry did. Steph, how did you make it out of all that impoverished lifestyle with your daddy in the NBA?
You better keep your dirty paws off of Dell Curry, Steve.
Steph, man, how was it like eating ramen noodles every day? He had a drive that just made it.
What the hell are ramen noodles? I don't know what ramen noodles are.
Steph, man.
Dell Curry. Dell Curry's one of them, hey, I got money. You ain't got nothing.
Yeah. Hey, Steph, man. Jeez. I'm glad, now he don't have to go to McDonald's like he has the first 3 years.
82nd highest paid player in the NBA. Let that one marinate. Butch, last call. Thanks for joining us on 93.9. What's on your mind?
Steve, Marcus, hello.
Hello, Butch.
And Marcus, I'm going to do this again. I hate to do it, but I'm going to agree
with you. I dare you.
I got to agree with you,
ooh,
though.
Really?
Yeah, because Durant could not win without Steph Curry, period. He could not beat him, so he joined him.
No
way that dude should get back one nickel of what he's earned. He's the best player on that team before Durant got there. He got him in the spot that they were in.
Interesting words you threw in there, before Durant got there.
Well, I mean, he's, BD. He's not. But he's paid his dues. Durant just got there, man. He didn't win a championship in all them years at Oklahoma City. Made one finals.
Butch, I can't let you off the hook that easy. Butch, criticize Cal for making Bam Adebayo's performance about him. Do that right now and we're all good.
I'm not doing that.
Oh, Butch, come on. Nope. Come on.
Hey, and you know what? As far as loyalty goes, it's been like 4 or 5 UK players that still come to the games.
Is that the standard for loyalty?
And they still acknowledge the fact that that's where they went to school.
No.
Just happens to be like one of 3 or 4 players that are playing in the NBA.
No. But
you got about 50 in there.
No, this is what I'm talking about. Bam Adebayo tore up the summer league in his first game, and Cal tweets out about holding Bam Adebayo back and starts making it about himself. And you will criticize Coach Calipari right now for taking that player's moment and making it about himself. Butch, I know you're an honest man, and you're gonna take Calipari to task because you know that wasn't right.
You know what? I'm gonna plead the fifth on that, because y'all some haters. That's the only reason why I'm gonna do that. If you weren't biased, then I wouldn't even say I agree. I'd shake my head. But I can't do that for you, man. I'm sorry.
Butch, I appreciate the call.
We don't hate. Haters don't. We spew the truth. See, there's other shows in this town that talk about Calipari all the time. We tell you about Calipari.
We show you.
Yeah, we show you the man that is Calipari.
We decode Calipari language for you. Steve, that was fun.
I know.
That was fun. We almost got Butch to confess.
He almost did.
We're going to talk about this Steph Curry Durant thing some more.
Yeah, we will.
We're going to go over to 502 Cafe, maybe. Yeah. People, you should get over there. Beautiful,
too bad
beautiful
Steph
day.
Can't afford 502 Cafe.
Anybody, and I mean anybody, can afford 502 Cafe. That's why they're our partners. We don't give you stuff you can't afford. Midday with Marcus Maben. Go to 502 Cafe, 1923 South 4th Street. Specials are awesome. 8150-939 is always the number. Let it stick in your head. 3831-939 is always the text line. Let that stick in your mind on 93.9.